You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, I need you to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget, get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Well, there was another weekend of Grapefruit League action, so I'm going to talk about the games that were played throughout this weekend in the first half. Going to talk about some of the performances on the pitching side for the Mets, and then later on in the second half, going to talk about some of the hitters, and primarily Andrés Giménez, who has showed up and played very well at the start of camp. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, check me out on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMerizedOnline.com. Now, I was actually at Friday's spring training game as the Mets took on the Cardinals. Me and my dad have an annual tradition where we go to one spring training game a year, so it was nice to go down to Port St. Lucie and see what was up with this new stadium. What I will say is everything does look great. The renovations to the front entrance and the entire ballpark really do take that facility to another level. It feels a lot more major league than it did in the past, so I thought that was really nice. I don't know if it was because of the renovations or not, or maybe because the St. Louis Cardinals were in town and their, you know, facility is in Jupiter, which is right down the road. So they traveled pretty well to this game. But that parking lot was full. We had to park across the street because there were so many people there. So that was good to see. And inside the stadium, there was a lot of new things to check out. In the left field, they have the Jim Beam or the Jack Daniels Bourbon Bar in right field. Seemed like there was a new restaurant bar called Mulligan's. I didn't get to check that out. I was watching the game, but the concession stands were updated. Everything looks great. I think it's definitely a good experience to check out, and I think that should bring more fans to the ballpark. I have been to some of those minor league games in Port St. Lucie when I was covering the Palm Beach Cardinals, and I'll tell you, they don't draw the biggest of crowds. So maybe with all these additions, you might see more people checking out the St. Lucie Mets once the minor league season starts. Of course, that is if the Wilpons are willing to keep these things open and running during the minor league season for the minor league baseball fans, or if those fans need to just take advantage of them during the spring training schedule as a reminder of the status they're trying to attain as fans, and they really need to get themselves to a big league game, kind of like the minor league players can't use the major league clubhouse. Regardless, I digress. Let's talk about the baseball game. On Friday, the Mets win 3-2. Marcus Stroman was on the bump. He pitched two innings, allowed a home run to Paul Goldschmidt, but not much damage other than that. In the second inning, Stroman had to work himself out of a bases-loaded jam after walking the leadoff batter. Then there was a bump base hit down the third baseline. Jeff McNeil tried to make a play on it. Maybe should have let Stroman try to make the play on it, because Stroman is an excellent defensive fielder. But McNeil called for it. Ball bounced off his hand. Could not field it cleanly. Bader probably beats it out anyway. The guy is a speedster. Then you had Dominic Smith take what was a routine double play ball. I mean, you couldn't have it any more tailor-made. And he airmailed the throw a bit to Ahmed Rosario. They couldn't get an out on that play either. Then it was bases loaded, and Marcus Stroman got a little bit fortunate with a line out that went to the second baseman, Jake Hager, who made a nice play on it. And then with one out, he got the inning-ending double play to get out of the jam, and that was all for Stroman on Friday. The other pitcher to talk about that pitched in that game was Jarice Familia. I've said it before, he does look like he's lost a ton of weight. Just seeing it in person, he definitely did come into camp in great shape. I was excited to see him pitch, And then the first pitch he throws, he spikes the ball in the ground. And it was like, there is good old Familia. But he did pitch a good inning when it was all said and done. A scoreless inning, walked a batter, and struck out one. Moving over to the pitching on Saturday, you had Steven Matz get the start. He pitched two scoreless innings, one hit, one strikeout. Once again, reiterated that he wants to be a starting pitcher. That is going to be the storyline for the rest of camp. But I will say right now, I am calling my shot because of those off days in the beginning of the season. I almost guarantee that the Mets are going to go in to the season with a four-man rotation, and they're going to kick the can down the road on the Michael Wacha, Steven Matz thing, and just name Rick Porcello the fourth starter. But we will have to wait and see. David Peterson also pitched in this game, of course. That is the left-handed pitching prospect. He pitched two innings, yielded three hits, one run, and had three strikeouts. Moving over to Sunday, the Mets had a split squad doubleheader with part of their team traveling to play the Marlins in Jupiter. They lost 7-1 in that game, but Michael Wacha pitched well to start things out. Three scoreless innings, two hits, one walk, one strikeout. He now has pitched five scoreless innings so far in the spring. The other game, Jacob deGrom was on the mound. He pitched three scoreless innings as well. Yielded one hit, struck out two in his spring debut. I mean, Jacob deGrom, once again, just shows how great he is. And a nice little spring tune-up game to get things going. Edwin Diaz allowed one hit and no runs in his inning pitched. Did not strike out any batters. Justin Wilson struck out the side when he stepped on the mound. So, great pitching in that game, and the Mets ended up getting a 3-1 victory. Now, when we get back in just a minute, going to talk about some of the hitters and what they did over the weekend, and also talk about Andrés Giménez, who continues to turn some heads in camp. Let's talk about the hitters this weekend who jumped out. Going back to Friday, you had Dominic Smith collect an RBI hit in that game against the Cardinals to get the Mets on the board. In the seventh inning of that game, Andrew Miller was on the mound for the Cardinals, and he was a disaster. Could not find the strike zone, hit two batters, and threw nine straight balls before even getting a strike call. And it wasn't even a strike call. It was a ball put in play as Edgardo Furman hit into a double play that really saved Miller from what could have been a disastrous inning. The Mets scored a run on that, and then Miller was able to settle down and get a strikeout to the next batter, which I believe was Patrick Mazika. At that point, the Mets had a 2-1 lead. They gave up a run the top of the eighth inning that tied it, but the Mets got back on top in the bottom of the eighth inning when Andrés Giménez hit a solo home run, which gave them the eventual lead to win the game. Giménez, I'm going to talk about him a little more in just a minute, but let's wrap up the rest of the action. On Saturday, there was not much to talk about with the major league players. You had a pair of minor leaguers hit doubles in the ninth inning to beat the Astros in that game and scored two runs, but overall, not a lot of offense for the Mets. On Sunday against the Marlins, kind of the same thing. They only got three hits in that side of the split squad doubleheader, but in the home game, with more of the major league players, the Mets hit pretty well, especially early on. Jeff McNeil got a leadoff hit. Brandon Nimmo drew a walk. And then Robinson Cano doubled them both home to score two. And then Michael Conforto, who turned 27 on Sunday, happy birthday to him, celebrates for himself by hitting a home run to give the Mets three runs in their eventual 3-1 victory. Let's talk about Andrés Giménez, though, because Giménez is playing really well to start a camp, and he's coming off that amazing performance in the Arizona Fall League when he led the league in batting. Now he's doing some similar stuff at big league camp against some big league pitchers. You got to give Giménez a lot of credit. So far, he is 5-for-16, good for a .313 batting average. He's scored two runs. He has a double. He has a home run. He's stolen a base. He's drawn two walks. It's early. It's 16 at-bats. But Andrés Giménez is playing, and he's playing often, and he's playing well. And he also continues to show a good glove at shortstop. And with all that in mind, I think Giménez has a good chance to maybe contribute this season. I don't think that you stunt his development by making him a role player. He's got to play. He's got to continue to develop. There's nothing wrong with him spending the season in AA or AAA the whole year and just continuing to hone his craft and his skills, and maybe next year is his time. But he might turn into a pretty decent player, and he is a very good defensive shortstop too, which brings in a whole round of questions. If the Mets did not have Robinson Cano, for example, maybe Jeff McNeil slides over to second, Amed Rosario slides over to third, and Andrés Giménez can be your shortstop. That's a possibility. Maybe Giménez could be a second baseman and just be elite on that side if you have Jeff McNeil and Amed Rosario on that one side of the diamond. Having an Andrés Giménez to kind of boost up what Pete Alonso brings to the table and make that side of the infield better, your defense could all of a sudden look really promising in the infield. So having Cano blocking Giménez isn't the greatest thing for the future. I will say that Cano at this time obviously brings a lot more to the plate as a hitter, but Giménez could be an interesting player for the Mets. And if he has a big year in AA or AAA, if he's turning heads in the Mets organization, he could also be turning heads in other organizations, making himself more of a valuable prospect to be traded. Or, you know, you open the door to do some creative things with Rosario. However, you had to figure things out to get everything to work. But the bottom line is the development of Andrés Giménez is a really promising side for a player that some felt took a step back last year, despite the fact that he was playing in AA, one of the youngest players in the league, and he was finding his footing, and now it seems like he's starting to get it, he's starting to click, and starting to live up to the hype of being the potential shortstop of the future that at one point we all thought he was going to be. So I've been pretty impressed with the stuff that I've seen so far throughout spring training. Again, you don't draw crazy distinctions from these games, but when you're talking about the development of a prospect, it's good to see them step up at this point and play well, because there's some times where you give a prospect some run early in big league camp and they just look completely overmatched, and Giménez has not looked like that. So that's a good sign, and we'll see what happens in the future. We'll see if an injury happens. Like I said, at certain points this offseason, Andrés Giménez is almost this team's backup shortstop. I think Luis Guillorme will be the backup shortstop on the roster, but I don't know if the Mets believe in his bat enough to want him to be the everyday shortstop if something were to happen to Amed Rosario and he had a stint on the IL. Rosario has been remarkably durable. We're not wishing any injury on Rosario, but to have Giménez as a backup plan, that is a little bit better than Guillorme and what else. I think Guillorme is the defensive player that can go all around the diamond. He has a bright future at the Mets as a bench player, but Andrés Giménez might have a future as the Mets starting shortstop. And like I said, he's starting to show all those signs right now in spring training. We'll see how he finishes up camp. He's not going to make this team outright, but he's definitely going to build upon some good impressions and start to lead a road that could bring him to the big leagues in 2020. Anyway, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.